Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot for, I'm delighted to get this opportunity to speak something about 4-5-4 sequencing and how to use this sequencing to understand bacterial diversity in the peanut rhizosphere. And so this tag encoded FLX titanium amplicon pyrosequencing, this is the third generation generated by the 4-5-4 technique, and we have got rid of so many problems which were encountered in the first generation and the second generation. So like in the initial generation, they were doing 200 to 400, 200 to 250 base pairs. Now we are doing up to 600 base pairs. So, and initially they were doing up to 450,000 runs in one cycle, 450,000 reads per cycle. Now we are going up to 1 million reads per cycle. So if we calculate that, then up to 500 to 600 million bases we can run in one cycle. So, and this is all done at the research and testing laboratory headed by Dr. Scotty Dowd at Lubbock, Texas. And bacterial tag encoded flux amplicon pyrosequencing, this is one of the best known of the tag encoded flux amplicon pyrosequencing. Do not try to type this TEFAP in the Google. This is just, we have designed this term, BTEFAP, this is designed by us. So other tag encoded terms that have been in use are the RPOB, NIFH, LAPA, and REKE. These are some of the tags people have been using in the past. But bacterial tag encoded have revealed the significant results out of all this. So what this, where it can be utilized? What are the applications of BTEFP? We can use this to study insect guts, or we have also used this to understand the frog skin, human skin, wounds, biofilms in the soil, air, water, rhizosphere. Think of any place we can use this wherever there is bacteria and we want to study the diversity of bacterial community. We can use it at any place. So how this tagging helps? Suppose if we have 12 samples and we know the cost of 4-5-4 is a lot, it's huge. So we can run 12 samples at the same time. Just we are going to tag all these 12 samples with different bacterial tags, and we will sample this, and then we can decode. So we can run all the 12 samples in one plate at the same time. And when the results are there, then we can decode it and we can get all the 12 different results. So it will cut down the cost. If we are running one sample, then if the cost is suppose $100, we are running 12 samples in one pit and the cost will be $8 per sample. So in this way, we are cutting down the cost. That's how this tagging is helping us. So the basic principle behind is, first of all, when the DNA molecule is there, we break down with nebulization, and we break down into a smaller pieces like 300 to 800 base pairs, and then these are attached to the beads with the ligands A and the ligands B, and then with the emulsified PCR, they are cloned into 10 million copies per bead, and after that they are deposited into picotiter plate, and sequencing takes place. So one bead results into one read and for one DNA molecule. So this is a little bit in detail. The emulsified PCR is taking place for each bead, and the hands-on time is 2 hours. The whole process here takes about 6 hours. Then this bead deposition and this pipetting and other things that takes about 2 hours, and the total time is taken 2 hours. So in total, 10 hours is for the sequencing. So total cycle is 10 hours. this is drastically reduced when you are compare you are doing 600 million bases in one run. So 10 hours is not much in compared to the Illumina that is taking 3 to 8 days and solid sequencing done by ABI that is also taking 8 days. So sequence. So what is the basic mechanism behind this? So whenever any deoxynucleotide, whenever DATP, deoxynucleotide phosphate attached to its complement sequence, the pyrophosphate is being released. So here is the pyrophosphate being released. So ATP sulfuryl-ase acts upon it. It yields the ATP. The ATP acts on the luciferase and yields light and the oxaliluciferin. This light is detected by CCD camera. And based on this light detection, then we get the sequence, and I will talk to you guys later how this is transformed into the sequences. So when one nucleotide is attached, we get one unit of light. When if adenine comes, we get one unit of light. If we get one guanine, it is another unit of light. So two rows, like two bar charts. But if we are getting homopolymer, like four adenine at the same time, we will have four times the bar. So it adds on. So one nucleotide, one bar, if a second one is the homopolymer, it will add up. If third one is the homopolymer, it will add up. It will three times the bar. So we can go with the titanium machine, we can go. We can detect up to eight homopolymers. So that is the sensitivity. Initially with the first and second generation, we are looking only up to four homopolymers. Now we can go up to eight homopolymers. So this is a design of a Pico titer plate with a 3.4 million wells. And this is this will be the output, how the light intensity will be spread throughout the plate. This is one example. So here I was explaining what I mean to say. So this is like the A, T, G, and C, when T, A, G, C, T, everything is coming up. In that case, for one unit, there will be one unit of light. And then when there are, suppose here there is TT, there are two polymers, then we will have double the bar. So based on that, we can decode this data. So what happens in 4-5-4 sequencing, how this flows? So we are doing the 4-5-4 sequencing. We are getting all this sequencing data. So, and suppose if you are running 12 samples at one time, then you decode into 12 samples, you can get 12 results. After that, you have to decide, do you want further analysis or you are done, you just want the sequences. If you don't want any further analysis, you are done. You have the sequences. You want further analysis, go ahead, prepare the faster sequence files. After that, do you want to study diversity? If you want to study diversity, then you have to trim the sequences, get rid of the unwanted sequences, and then you have to do the short alignment to remove non-tagged sequences or non-bacterial sequences. Sometimes there are noises, you have to get rid of that, and then you check for the chimera, if they are two different DNA, they are binded together, you have to get rid of them, and then you do the rarefaction analysis. So rarefaction will give you the diversity pattern. If you don't want to do the diversity, then you label the sample files. Again, you check for the chimeras and you align them. And after aligning, if you want the further analysis, and if these are the clinical samples, then you go for the antibiotic assessment. So you have all this bacterial tag encoded. You know what are these bacteria. You don't have to do the culture insensitivity test. You can directly go for the antibiotic testing. If these are not the clinical samples and you just want for the study purpose, then you can summarize them into group into different groups. And so this is the concept here. So this is the applications of the 4-5-4. And the methods of analysis, there are different methods. Many speakers have already talked about the RDP pipeline and the green genes and how to detect the cameras. So they are the different methods of the analysis. Now, this is the technique. This was the technical part. So what is 4-5-4 sequencing is going on. Now the next part I will be speaking how to utilize in our day-to-day life. So many people, they don't think, okay, this doesn't mean to us unless until we see the practical aspect, how it's going to benefit us. So we looked how it is benefiting in our peanut study, how to enhance the peanut quality and the peanut quantity. So our objective was to study different crop management practices and an impact on the biodiversity, the pattern of bacterial communities, and how it is impacting peanut yield. So crop management, we studied tillage, nitrogen, and the irrigation. This was our plot design. So we had this minimal tillage in the outside rows, and the second was the conventional tillage. So that was the alternate pattern. And this field was provided by USDA. So we are very much thankful to USDA for providing this opportunity. So this 1 and 2 are replicates, 3 and 4 are replicates, 5 and 6 are replicates. 1 and 2 got the full irrigation. 3 and 4, they got 50% irrigation in the last 90 days of the growing period. 5 and 6 got 50% irrigation in the initial 45 days of the peanut growing season. This was our field. This is the minimal tillage, this is the conventional tillage, and we worked on this. And so in this field, we had collected three samples from each row in each block, and then in each plot, so three samples in each block. There were total 4 blocks and 6 plots. We sampled from March to October for a period of 2 years. So total 1,152 samples were collected. So what we found? So the fertilizer impact. We saw based on this 4-5-4 sequencing that we have significantly, statistically significant higher diversity if we are putting no fertilizer. If we are adding fertilizer, diversity decreases. If no fertilizer, diversity increases. On the bacterial abundance, compared to the fertilizer and nitrogen and no nitrogen, we see that there are significant impact in the gamma proteobacteria. You see here with the fertilizer, it is just 9% and almost about 4 times gamma proteobacteria if there is no nitrogen. Again, you see the difference is in the sphingobacteria. Sphingobacteria is a unique bacteria which produces sphingolipids. So that is very important in the human health aspect. So this is almost half when you are adding when there is no nitrogen. When you put nitrogen, there are more sphingomonas. And then of course you will see there are more patterns here. At the genus level, you see Aeromonas is almost 40%. If there is no nitrogen. If there is nitrogen, there seems to be no Aeromonas. And again, we can look at the Gametimonas, that is about 27% here, and that is only 8% here. So what I mean to say, I am not going exactly in these figures, what I mean to say, there is a big change in the pattern of bacterial community. That's what I mean to say, and then we need to study further how we can utilize this. Irrigation impact. Again, if we have compared early deficit, full irrigation, and the late deficit. Early deficit, 50% water, 50% irrigation in the early 45 days. Late deficit, 50% irrigation in the last 90 days. We see if we are doing continuous irrigation, less diversity. If we are cutting down the water, more diversity. At the class abundance, we see with the full irrigation, there are less actinobacteria. And if we are cutting down the water, there is more actinobacteria. At the genus level, we see more Aeromonas with the full irrigation and we have almost reduced Aeromonas or no Aeromonas when we cut down the water. Now, the question is, many people are interested, okay, I don't want to listen about the biodiversity. Many people at the general layman public, if you will go to the farmer, they will say, I don't bother about the biodiversity. Tell me about the peanut yield. I need the money. So tell me how I can do this. So when they are, if you will ask a farmer, what you do? They will say, I will do the tillage. I fertilize the field and I put the water. So all this costs money. Tillage, nitrogen, and everything costs money. Okay, I am telling them, save money, do not do the tillage. What happens? You are saving money by not doing tillage, and you are getting two times the peanut yield. What do you want? Next, fertilizer. You are putting money by doing the by putting fertilizer. Don't put the fertilizer, save money, and you are getting three times the peanut yield. Third, you cut down the water. And you see, you are cutting down the water, and though the data is, and the variance is too much, it's a big range, but look for the median. This is the median value. Median value is almost, here is about 5,000, here is about 7,500. You cut down the water, and then also you are getting higher yield. So you are saving money by not doing tillage, not doing fertilizer, and not putting excess water, and you are getting more money by producing more peanut. So what is my concept here with the conclusion? What we are trying to propose, that crop management is the cause and peanut yield is the effect, and possible mechanism is the biodiversity. So all this crop management, tillage, nitrogen and irrigation, they are decreasing biodiversity, and that's why they are decreasing the peanut yield. So biodiversity may be a mechanism for peanut yield production. Thank you. I will welcome the questions from the audience. Yes, sir.
Obviously, there's going to be a limit that you're going to reach season by season on water for fertilizer. But what on your study did you look at peanut quality? In other words, you can have a large yield of very poor quality and won't make money.
Yes, I have looked at their total sound matured kernels, TSMK, quality, and I have seen the better quality. Like 76% TSMK when we are doing no this crop management, and about 56% when we are doing the tillage. So I did not publish that data here, but I have that data. Yes, ma'am.
What about the disease incidence? Is that impacted at all?
Disease incidence, we did not use any pesticides or the herbicides because there was no report of any disease. But maybe, yeah, we have to consider that. Any more question?
It seems like soon the prior sequencing will become cheap enough that you can actually have some statistical replication. So when you were comparing your treatments, obviously you're showing pie charts and you're not able to really show the error bars. But how much replication do you think is going to be necessary to really say statistically we have more actinobacteria in this sample than another, or whatever genera it is?
Actually, for the replications, I will say the more the better. But of course, the more the better. But if you have to balance the things, what I have done, I have gone up to, I started with one sample when we had to do the first pyrosequencing, and it was very costly, and then we went up to three replicates, and frankly speaking, I did not see a big change, but I will recommend at least three replicates. That's my recommendation, but of course, if you are doing more replicates, that does not harm. Yes.
Thank you.
I think we will discuss maybe after the next session. Thank you.
Thank you.